The Lord's been turning me a certain direction, and I really didn't realize it until just recently what he's doing or what he's been doing. And I even had someone comment to me saying, I've noticed for over a year now you've seemed to really have changed. And I said, how so? Well, you don't feel like you have to say anything about everything anymore. I said, well, you know, I think the Lord just got me to the place that I just didn't need to. You know, I took it as a compliment. And I think, you know, after last week when I brought about the church, the people trashing church leaders, and it really got to me, because I feel like they don't have a right to do that. But on the other side of that, do any of us have the right to do it? To anybody? Well, the title of this is called Criticism, Satan's Tool of Division. What is criticism? We're going to look at Webster's. Criticize, to consider the merits and demerits of and judge accordingly, to find fault with, point out the faults of. The Lord took me to Ephesians chapter 6, and it kind of surprised me what he revealed to me there. I want to share it with you. And unfortunately, I believe all of us have been subject to this. I'm talking present company. This is Ephesians 6. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nature and admonition of the Lord. Provoke means to anger or enrage. This is where most of it starts. That's what the Lord said to me. This is the root. And I can remember times in my life that I was so angry. One time I was so angry, I put my hand through a window. Not trying to bash parents or anything like that, because a lot of times parents, they were raised that way too. But I can remember getting free. When you start to get free from that, then when it confronts you, you get enraged, like you can't tolerate it anymore. Because you've had it your whole life on you, you cannot take it. And I said, Lord, I don't understand my reaction sometimes to things. And he spoke to me, he said, anger is a signal that you have been violated. He said, do not sin in your anger, though. But when something begins to make you angry, then it is a sign that someone has tread on your boundaries. That was said volumes to me. It made me understand. It made me not to feel bad because of my anger, because I can remember time in my childhood, I was provoked to be enraged at times because, you know, I didn't understand. I didn't understand why I felt that way. I didn't understand whenever I was criticized or critiqued, sometimes I just go ballistic. It's like I could not take it, you know, like a victim. You just cannot take it. Well, hear everything I'm going to say today. All right, let's keep going. This is where it starts, mainly where you've been raised. It has to do with father's love. Now, some of us didn't have that kind of relationship, but we have father's love now to help us. Okay. This is not an easy thing to bring this morning, but I'll say this to you. I believe it has to do with our love walk, and I think it's the last thing that the Father deals with before He'll let you loose with what He's taught you, is your love walk. Learning to let people be who they are and not feel like you have to criticize them. That's the way it should be in the whole body of Christ, but unfortunately it's not. But you know what? This is what I... But what the Lord's been doing with me is this. For a while now, I just realized, Lord, you've been doing this for a while, haven't you? He said, yes. If I see something I don't like, don't say nothing. Or you feel like somebody's doing something that you don't think they ought to be doing, Lord says, don't say nothing. Learning to let Father go to bat for you, take care of you. Okay, keep going here. Criticize implies finding fault, especially with methods or policies or intentions. Isn't it refreshing when you can get around someone that lets you be you? Doesn't critique you? What does it make you feel? Safe. It's a terrible way to live to never feel safe because you feel like at every turn you're criticized. When you're around a critical person, you feel unsafe and you just want to escape. I lived that way for so many years. I'm thankful to the Lord. He's been bringing me out. If anything He's done for me these last 7 years, it's been that, to where I don't care what you think. I love you, but I don't care. Father's shown me the value and the worth that I have. And there's not anything anybody else can do. Jesus walked in that kind of security. And they certainly criticized Him. All right. Here are some of the words that spin off of this word criticize. Reprehend, which implies both criticism and severe rebuking. Censor carries a strong suggestion of authority to sanction. In other words, push back against. Condemn usually suggests an unqualified and final unfavorable judgment. Denounce adds to condemn the implication of a public declaration. Critique, an act of criticizing to examine critically. We find ourselves in a world that is all that's going on. It is coming out of every pipeline, criticizing the leaders, criticizing this group, pit this group against that group. The whole world is overtaken in this right now. All right. Who needs criticism? What does criticism do? It brings resentment. Kind of like, don't tell me how much you, or don't, what is the saying?
Don't tell me how much you care until you use.
How much you care or something like that. Yeah. In other words, you can say all of these things, but if you're going to critique me all the time and criticize and condemn, I'm not going to hear anything you say, even though what you say may be right, you know. What is resentment? This is out of Webster's. A feeling of indignant displeasure, a persistent ill will at something regarded as a wrong, an insult, or an injury, that's an offense. If you've been subject to criticism, say most of your life, it becomes intolerable, especially when you start getting free. I remember the Lord showed me a few years ago, I was provoked as a child, and at times it would come out as anger. I already said this to you. The Lord said to me, that anger is not wrong, but you are not to sin in it. Be you angry and sin not. The anger simply letting you know that your boundaries have been violated. This is what Ephesians 6 is talking about. Now you can understand why you see a lot of angry people walking around. People are just angry. They don't know why. And they're acting out. They've been provoked. When they find out what they've done to us on every turn, through every crook and cranny, you talk about, that's when they're going to have to be afraid. All right. I can remember Brother Copeland said this a few years ago. One of the biggest problems, this is what the Lord said him in the body of Christ, was their bound determination to correct one another. Instead of just letting each other be who they're called to be. Who is the corrector? Who's the corrector? All right, Hebrews 12. So the Lord's been getting me in a habit of when I see something out of place or something I don't like, I fix it. I keep my mouth shut. That's what He's instructed me to do. All right. 12, verse 1. Wherefore we're seen, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Lay aside every weight, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Have ye not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin? Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Lord chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather in subjection into the Father spirit, be in subjection into the Father of spirits, or unto the Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So the Father is the corrector. Do you think for a minute that He does not know where the correction is needed, and He will not apply it as He sees fit? Does He need your help? No, He doesn't. I think everybody in this entire world just needs a little slack. Yeah, we've been under the lash, all of us. All right, what does criticism do? It makes the criticized person feel like they are wrong. And it's an awful feeling. What does Father do when He corrects us? He makes us feel right. All right, He makes us feel bad about ourselves. Eve ever notice the Lord's correction doesn't do that? It's the way He does it, because He's love. That's what I mean here. For us to be people that all we ever have to say, it's like my kids and grandkids. You know, when they come, I just want to build them up. I do not want to say anything that would make their lives more stressful than they already are. God's already dealing with them. We're all under chastisement of the Lord. Do we need anybody else's input? No, we don't. All right. Joyce Meyer, who openly states how abused she was as a child, said the Lord taught her about your who and your do. This is the difference between people's criticism and God's chastening. When you're corrected, we let it affect who we are, when it should only affect what we are doing. In other words, A person that has been in this state will often say, "You always do this to me. You always that, and you always this." They're wounded. And they've been beat up. And so that's all they do is lash out. Okay? Any little infraction causes them to lash out in anger. Yeah. It's because they've been provoked. The truth of the matter is that they are not the ones to bring the correction or criticize another person. Truth is, they are probably doing the best they can at that possible moment. You feel like, "I'm doing the absolute best that I can, and I can't take anything else." You know, people are like ticking time bombs. All right, I'm looking forward to the day that we can all say to each other, "Be good and kind and loving." That's all we ever have to say about each other. In our presence or our wife, we're safe. Out of your presence or in your presence. That's the way the Lord says it's to be. Is it worth it to have your say for someone's infraction that you have to get on to them about it? Is it worth it to get you out of your love walk? See, the Lord said He wouldn't turn us loose until the character's developed. You're not going to get any higher character than your love walk. I do believe there's spirit-led correction at times. I mean, even with a church leader or elder or whatever, there has to be three witnesses to correct that leader. But people take it on themselves to bash and trash ministers. I mean, personally, I'm not just talking about in the pulpit, I'm talking personally about where they spend their money or whatever. They don't have any right to do that. In fact, I remember I posted something on a certain person's Telegram. It was about Aaron and Miriam coming against Moses, and I just put there, "You might want to take a look at this." Whether they ever see it or not, I don't know. But anyway, whether I needed to do it or not, I did it. Usually I say nothing. A lot of times I want to say something, but I don't. All right. Trouble is, everyone seems to think they're the one that needs to make the correction and tell a person this or that when they can't even pay attention themselves. That's the problem. All right, Matthew 7. Got a few scriptures. Matthew 7. When Father sets you free, you don't want to go back under the lash. No. Whether it be somebody's criticism or whatever else. No. We need to learn to let it flow off of our backs like water on a duck's back. Matthew 7:1 says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye,' and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Yeah. Yeah. There's a one translation that says, you know, get the toothpick out of your brother's eye, or get the telephone pole out of your eye and you can get the toothpick out of your brother's eye. Judge here means a decision for or against. Psalms 89:14. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. That's how God judges, in mercy and truth. He is the righteous judge. What did Jesus tell us to do? To criticize and judge? No. This is my commandment, that ye criticize one another, as I have criticized you? No. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. What is love? Here's the standard, 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to look at that. That's the standard of love. From what I can see, love covers the offense, not critiques it. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which charity right here is affection or benevolence, specifically a love feast. A love feast. We're wallowing in it. A love feast. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. I'm prompted to say this. As you begin to do this, you may see some things disappear that you've tried everything under the sun to get rid of. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. So then, how do we handle things when we see someone doing something against us that we don't like? I believe this is the best way, and I'm going to give you some scriptures here. Matthew 18 is the first one. Cover that offense over with love. All right, this is Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he began to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of the fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they rebuked him. No. They were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. It was between the master and the man, not the people that saw it, the man and the Lord. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Are we being tormented because we have been unlovely? There's a door open somewhere. Right? At times. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. You know what the thing about when you know how loved you are and how forgiven you are? You can show love and forgiveness towards others. All right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining in this to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church, I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and he that in that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law with one another. Why do you not rather take wrong? In other words, suck it up. Get over it. Pretend it didn't happen and move on. Just don't let anything get you out of your love walk. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves as mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners that shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So what's he saying here? Even these that have done these horrible, heinous crimes, we are not the judge. The judge will judge, but it isn't up to us. We need to be praying that, Lord, if there's any way for them to come to repentance, Lord, you know. We don't. And a lot of what we are hearing, we don't know if it's correct or not. Yeah. This is the crux of it. We don't know for sure, really, anything. Yeah. Okay, let me get back on track here. We all know who the condemner is, and it is not us. Revelation 12:10. This is the devil's game, whether it be personally or worldwide, to pit brother against brother, black against white, Christian against Muslim, whatever case it may be, that is the devil's game. Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Non-stop criticism. Well, just turn on the news. It's non-stop criticism. Constant critical news, CNN. Or consistent negative news, whatever. Accuser means to be a plaintiff, to charge with offense, to accuse or object. I object to you. Everything about you, I just hate everything you do. All right, we're going to do a questionnaire here. Not accusing anybody of anything. We all need this today, including myself. Are you a critical person? Question mark. Here's a little questionnaire to kind of get run down here and see. Here are some things to consider. Being overly critical of yourself. That's low self-esteem. That's a sign of a critical person. You constantly second-guess yourself. You pick yourself and everyone else apart. You don't enjoy anything. Nothing is good enough for you. You can't take a compliment. You constantly feel irritated. You complain all the time. You avoid expressing your opinion, thinking you're just not worth hearing. It all comes back to being provoked. You understand? The root of it. What the Lord was saying to me. There's the root of it. These insecurities. When someone critiques you, you go through all these emotions and things. This is where it's come from. Here are five ways to come out of this mindset. I want to read this article to you. I thought it was good. All right. This is usually a critical person. This is what they're thinking. I can be critical of others. That's been my strategy for staying safe. With clients and strangers, I'm usually positive and encouraging. With close friends and family, I can be negative. I don't want to get hurt again. My negativity pushes people away, keeping them at a safe distance. It's an unhealthy strategy, but it served a purpose. It also made me lonely. Here are five relationship strategies helping me break that horrible habit. 1, count the consequences. Count the cost of being a critical person long term. How will this impact my relationships with family and friends? Play it forward 5 or 10 years and judgmental people end up isolated, lonely, and avoided. It's tough to be friends with this kind of person. Who wants to get too close to someone who consistently points out faults? Nobody. 2, focus on gratitude. I can't be critical of someone and grateful for them at the same time, just like I can't be happy and depressed simultaneously. These emotional states are mutually exclusive. The gratitude I feel towards others forces out my negativity. Answer these questions about someone you're tempted to criticize. What traits do I appreciate about this person? What are their unique skills and talents? How is my life better than this person? How is my life better because this person is in it? What positive memories do I have with them? That's what I mean. That's what I told you. It's like the Lord has had me going this direction for quite a while now, where when it comes to something I want to gripe about, it's like immediately the Lord will counter that with something. I'm so thankful because of this and so because of that and because of that. It's changing a mindset from that way to this way. Any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, but it takes character and self-control to be understanding and forgiving. That was by Dale Carnegie. Wasn't he the positive guy? Question your motives. It's hard to know the difference between criticism and feedback. The motive behind criticism is self-protection, while the motive behind constructive feedback is it genuinely helps someone. If my motive is one up and push people away, then don't say it. It's kind of like Brother Hagin. How is what I'm about to say going to affect the hearer? That's what he tried to use before he would say something. All right, a side note here. Relationship expert John Gottman recommends a ratio of at least 5 positive interactions to every negative. People will receive what you say positively when the relationship has substantially more positive interactions to negative. I once had a very encouraging boss named Gordon Rogers. Every day he pointed out something I was doing right. He could tell me anything and I would receive it. All right, 4, get a thick skin. Stop taking everything personally. What people say often reveals more about them than it does about you. You grow when you're not defensive. I try to do something every day where I could get rejected to remind myself that my value doesn't come from other people's opinions of me. It doesn't matter what people think of me when I like myself. You can't let praise or criticism get to you. It's a weakness to get caught up in either one. Like Brother Hagin used to say, you need to become dead to censor or praise. 5, figure yourself out. There are reasons why you're critical and not encouraging. There are reasons why you're afraid of being hurt by others, and you need to figure it out. Talk to a therapist or life coach. Well, whatever. Go to the Lord is what I say. Deal with your past. You are made for connection, and your life will suck without it. Join me as I struggle to break out of the self-protective negative cycle. May we all discover the potential opportunity and joy found only in relationships with others. Thought that was good. All right, let's keep going here. Nearly done. We would all do well to remember that our brother is really none of our business. We have a full-time job just taking care of ourselves. Ever notice the busybodies usually have the biggest problems? The ones will end everybody else's business, tell them what they ought to do. They can't even take care of what they need to be doing. They're just tired of dealing with their own problems and move on to someone else. I guess it makes them feel better. Okay, John 21. Okay, 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, Jesus said to Peter, Take care of yourself and let me take care of your brother. He is well able to do it. How do you deal with a critical person? Well, we do well to take Brother Hagin's advice. Become dead to censure praise. Okay.